Good evening, everyone, listening and tuning in to us in the parking lot, especially you that are tuning in either out there or on Facebook. Thank you for joining us. We always encourage you to share our videos, our live services with friends and family. So if you'll go ahead and do that, we would appreciate that. Share the gospel message with as many people as possible tonight. And again, we thank you for joining us. We're going to start off tonight with the song "He Lives." Don't pay attention to how it's sung. And if you have small pets in your house, you might want to cover their ears. They might start howling when they start saying, "I'm just kidding. I'm just, as Pastor Brian says, I'm just cutting up." So. Let's go ahead and we'll sing "He Lives." I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And this the time I need Him, He's always near.
533.
He lives, He lives, as Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujah to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen.
Turn over to page 426, which is Victory in Jesus. And we'll just sing the first and third verses of this one. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, He gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groanings, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the songs of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. Well, Wayne, you didn't know it, but you know at the top of the page it has a scripture markers on them. Well, that last song you did was from 1 Corinthians 15, and it just so happens that that's where tonight's message is coming from. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Good evening, and thank you, Brother Wayne, and it's good to see everybody tonight. I'm so thankful for this day. We've had a wonderful, wonderful day. In spite of my voice and puberty, a second round coming through, but I'm thankful. I ended up with two glasses of water and a bottle of water. But somebody said that I said, get me a glass of water or something to drink. And they wanted to know what the something to drink that I was mentioning in there was. But tonight we're going to, if I had a title for tonight's message, it would be Keeping It in Focus. Keeping It in Focus. And like I said, we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be looking at verses 3 through 6. But we're really going to take a journey through basically the New Testament specifically. After the Gospels, we'll be looking at a good bit in Acts, and then also here in 1 Corinthians. But we do want to remind you that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll open up your heart and your life to him today, he'll do even greater things. And our desire is that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that if you do know him as your personal Savior, then more and more each day, your goal is to look more like him in your daily walk. I have been very blessed this week. The deacons and I are trying some different things. We can't do our regular visitation. Usually when daylight savings time get here, we try to have visitation twice a month. Well, that's not been working out, so we're doing some different things on Thursday nights.
And we had about six of us come together, I think it was around six, Thursday night, and just had a good time of fellowship, only for about an hour, and made some phone calls and enjoyed that. But also, this week, I've been blessed by people just saying that the Lord is bringing them into a closer relationship as they're trying to grow in their alone time with Him and to spend time in fellowship with Him. And you'd think, as being a pastor, that that would be one of the least areas that I fought with, but it's not, because you know how it is with a carpenter. He'll work on everybody else's house, but when it comes to his, he usually lets things get run down. And a lot of time, as a pastor, you'll make sure you're prepared for the lessons that you're going to teach and all that, but if you're not careful, I know some are learning this now, you know, that if you're not careful, you'll miss out on that personal time with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell a difference in my life when I'm letting that slack. But before we go any further tonight, we do want to remind you that church is not shut down, okay? I had a meeting. Me and Brother Otis sat down for a little while with Brother Wayne and Sister Tammy. We're discussing some ideas about the Awana program. I've been talking with Sister Amy Gunner, my wife, and Brother K. Jesse about at least having twice a month Zoom Sunday school classes, one for men, one for women, that they can be a part of. Our youth, they're meeting on Wednesday nights over at Sister Robin and Brother Robert's house, and they're practicing their social distancing, but they're also having that time together. And so know that church isn't shut down, and believe you me, if I know, I love the church, I love the house of God. I mean, that's I guess some of it's like I talked about this morning, culture, but it's just a special place to me. And if you need to come up here and spend time alone with the Lord, then you come and do it. Let me know, and we'll work you out a time, a couple hours, an hour, where you can just spend some time here in the sanctuary and pray and study. And believe you me, I had Amy bring me home some of that school cleaning sanitizer the other day. So we got that good stuff, but strip paint off the wall. Now, we got some of that. Hey, if you do happen to be in a place where there is Lysol and all that, pick some up for the church, and we will reimburse you for it, okay? I ain't seen it. I don't know about y'all. I've hunted it and ain't seen it. So, but praise report, I'm amazed that this morning how when we stopped and had a word of prayer, the Lord straightened the voice right out, though. I mean, it wasn't five minutes, and it was back good. So we give God glory for that. But before we get into 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, I do thank you for sharing our programs, our services. We ask that you do it give God the glory. If anyone says they enjoy it or whatever, just let them know. We're thankful that right now we're having some visitors from some other churches, and believe you me, we're not here to steal anybody's membership. We're just thankful that they're worshiping the Lord. Also, if you go to our Facebook page right now, we've got 930 some odd followers. I'd like to see, before 2021 gets here, that we had 1,000 followers. So if you would, it's been a while since we've had a like or share drive with our Facebook page. And I'm sure you've got new friends on Facebook. So look through your friends and invite them to like our page and to follow our page, okay? But in the way of prayer needs tonight, number one, we want to remember the lost. Those that don't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Also, the backslidden, those that's wandered away from the Lord. We live in a society where everything around us is set up to pull us away from the Lord. Intentionally, I don't believe that, but it's just the pace of life and the way things are right now that it just pulls you away. It tries to get your mind on anything else, and it's easy to wake up one morning and find that you've backslidden and drifted away. Also, we want to pray for marriage. We want to pray for those that are depressed. We want to pray for those that are bereaved. We want to pray for the Judy Brock family, the Charles Dingus family, the Michael Turner family. We want to pray for the Kent Smith family and many others. Brother K. Jesse, he had a special prayer need today. Family, we want to lift them up. Miss Sally Greeby, but we praise God for the good news that she got this week. Miss Catherine Ward, as she's preparing to go back down and have some freezing and some burning and some different things like that. Charles Ayers, Angie Farmer, Tommy, Brother Tommy and Sister Alma Mullins, they'll be heading to a specialist this week. Randy Flansler and Gary Atkinson's wife, Haley Webb, Frank and Mary Garrett, Patrick Fields, Riley Clements, John Berry, Courtney Hall. We also want to pray for Brother Tim Bonador's grandmother. I spoke with him or texted with him on Friday, and she has begun to eat and to drink a little bit, but the Lord really needs, there needs to be a touch there. And so pray for him. He's still down in South Georgia right now. Paul Weiniger, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Jeanette Carter, Kinsley Roberts, Linda Jordan, Lynn Mullins, Jerry Flannery, David Starnes, Jim Lamb, Nicholas Patrick, Miss Jill Dyser, Merle Edwards, Wilma and Dawn Daniels, Mary Snodgrass, Miss Cecilia and Mr. Frank Pennington, Sheila Stanley, Paul Hahn and family, special need there, JC and Derek Osborne and their unborn triplets, Brother Jay and Sister Ruby Keck, want to pray for them. The hopes are that she'll be able to come home this week. Cindy Osborne, Faye Hill, Ruth Roten, Levi Lynn, Donnie Fields, Lottie Johnson, Sister Phyllis and Brother Hoyt Bledsoe. I didn't get to speak to them this morning, but I did see them as they drove through. Miss Liza Fletcher, Miss Henrietta Roach, that's Brother Keith Roach's mother. Miss June and Bobby Jesse, that's Brother Kay Jesse and Miss Vanessa's mama and daddy. Miss Margaret and Brother Chet Wheeler. Miss Wilma Jean Daniels, Wilma Williams, Linda Jackson, John and Carmine Shoup, Ryan Luke, and we want to continue to pray for Peter. Also, our elections that are coming up, and as we're looking at Thursday being the first day of school in Lee County, and then the next Tuesday, I believe it is, Monday, will be Scott County's starting back. So we want to pray for the teachers and everything there. I've got one child that's chomping at the bits, ready to go back to school. And the other one is a little bit apprehensive. Don't want to get sick, you know. So, but wants to go to school. They want to be at school, but they just don't want to get the COVID, you know. So we want to pray for them. Any other prayer needs tonight? Yes. Them falls ain't no good. Anyone else? I'm going to ask Brother Frank if he would come and lead us in a word of prayer tonight. I know that those that are watching, you have prayer needs, but I also believe that you've got answered prayers as well in your mind. I don't think you'd have to think very far or very hard to remember how God has been faithful in your life. So right now, Brother Frank, if you would.
Let's bow our head for prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before you this evening extremely grateful, Lord, to just be able to come to your house, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you blessed us with the ability to broadcast your message here through the radio and over Facebook Live, Lord. And we just thank you for those in attendance there. We thank you for the service this morning, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, as we quieten our hearts and turn our hearts to your word, that you would just guide us as you know our needs this week and you know what will be happening. And we ask you, Lord, just to help us to take that time daily, Lord, that we can gather ourselves quietly and just whether it be in the morning or in the evening or in the mid-afternoon, Lord, whatever works for our schedules, that we would take some time and spend time in prayer, in quiet prayer with you and reading your word, Lord, and that you would just allow it to grow in our hearts, give us strength, give us the peace that you speak of in your word, Lord. And we do ask you, Lord, to just your protection upon all those as schools and systems are starting back this month, Lord, that you would just help everyone to remain diligent, Lord, and patient with each other. Yeah. and that you would just guide them, Lord, and that you would just protect them, Lord. I know there'll be a lot of extra work for those teachers and for those that work at the school systems, the bus drivers, Lord, the custodians, that you would just bless them, Lord, and help them to do their jobs well. We ask you also to be with the kids. Lord, as mentioned here tonight, you know, there's some concern not only with adults but also from the kids, that you would just take that fear away, Lord, and that you would just help them to understand that you're in control. And again, Lord, as we study your word this evening, Lord, in Corinthians, that you would just guide us, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. And we come here this evening, Lord, just to praise you and thank you for all that you've done. And in Jesus' name and for his sake, we do pray. Amen.
I do want to say thank you to everyone that's either got with me this week or with Amy and checked on her physically. I also ask you to continue to pray for her with her job. It's a new role she's in, but also a lot of principals and leaders, they're in a position they've never been in, school boards in position they've never been in. And also, I ask as you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that you pray for mom and daddy, the issues of growing older. She has knee issues and hip issues, but daddy, he's still dealing with the low blood count and iron issues, so pray for that right there. Tonight I'm going to do my best not to keep you long. Two reasons for that. One, I don't know if my voice will hold out for that long, but also, Brother Edwards this morning brought me a tomato that's as big as a piece of giant-sized bunny bread. And so once I leave here, I'm going to get me a thing of bologna, and I'm going to have me a bologna and tomato and mayonnaise and pepper sandwich with some plain tater chips. Don't that sound real good? Sounds real good. Might even have me a Coca-Cola alongside of it there. My wife sent me out with money to come home with bologna. That was my goal. That's my job. I don't know if I will tonight, but I'm pretty known to fry. I like mine black. I like mine a little crunchy. I like it that way. And now Tammy's, he don't like his too crunchy. How you like your bacon? I like my bacon chewy. I like my bacon. Don't you thank God for pig? I mean, ain't you glad? Ain't you glad we don't live by law but by grace? Now, see, I told you Sunday night and Wednesday night services is just different, okay? Last week I got caught sucking in my belly. That's what I said, but... tonight I want to talk about keeping it in focus. Look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. It says, "For I delivered unto you," this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, and you remember this is what we know is his first letter to the Corinthians, and if you remember, the church of Corinth had a lot of issues, and that's how we know that the church has never been perfect, and what the church is it is a... it's a place where the people of God, the imperfect people of God, come together to worship the Lord and support each other as we try to be more like Him and lead others to Him. So Paul is writing them. He's getting down to the end of the chapter, or the end of the book. And this whole chapter here in verse 15 covers one topic. And you'll be quickly to identify what that is. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to Scriptures, and was seen, and that he was seen of Cephas," that's Simon Peter, "and he was of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren, at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this day, but some are fallen asleep," meaning some have passed away. So, in this morning's sermon, I hope that you recognize and you understand that my goal is not to get you to question your salvation. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to affirm your salvation. That's my desire. I don't want you, and the Bible says that there is no hope so salvation. The Bible says, "These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life." Over in 1 John chapter 5, he says in verse 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, beginning of verse 12, it says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything in his name, he will hear us." And so today the message was is that we do live in, especially in the Bible Belt, we live in an area where being Christian or the idea of Christianity is a part of our culture. You know, most people that I know have at least an uncle or a granddaddy that was a preacher. He might have been bivocational, but he was a preacher. They have some idea of the Scriptures. They have a mentality. Now, what we're realizing in this age is there are people in our county that do not know who Jesus Christ is, and they've never heard the name of Jesus Christ, and they don't know what the big deal is. But for the most part, in our region, people know it. But the Bible teaches that when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that your life changes, and that to have a faithful relationship with him, then it takes sacrifice, and our daily routine and the lives that we lead will be interfered with. I mean, that's just like our deacons. There's times that they would rather be doing other things, but they have to meet with me. They have to talk with me. They have to be here on Wednesday nights, on Monday nights, and Friday nights, because I'm wanting to do devotionals and things like that. And so my goal is just to help affirm your salvation, and that when you lay your head down at night, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if you don't wake up tomorrow morning, then you'll be in the presence of Jehovah. Amen? And if I can talk you out of it, then somebody other than the Holy Spirit talked you into it. And so, but the main idea in this morning's message, and I pray it's this way in the majority of our messages. I had an older pastor friend told me that if you can't take every message you preach back to the cross, then you don't need to preach it. And so the major theme this morning was that Christ Jesus came to save mankind from their sins. And that was the whole point. That he shed his blood on Calvary's cross, that the blood he shed on Calvary's cross cleanses totally from the guilt and the stain of sin. Once someone enters into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that they are made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. They are made fresh and clean, Acts chapter 2, 22, verse 16. And they are given a restored relationship with our Creator. John chapter 1, verse 12, where it says, to those that believe on his name, he have given them power to become sons or children of God. But I want you to stop and think for a moment. The idea that our sins can be forgiven, the stain of sin, the guilt of sin can be washed away, and that in the courtroom of the Judge of Judges, he will say, you're innocent and you're just with the court. Whoo, ain't that good? Hey, that's good. And I know better, but praise God. He's the judge, and what he says is final. Just like today in some of the courtrooms, you know, you've seen some things where people's broke the law and then they get off with a slap on the wrist and you're like, well, they should have served time or they should have did this and that. But you know what? We ain't the judge, and what the judge says matters. And when the judge looks at us, when our Creator looks at us and he sees not us, not our works, but the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, innocent, clean, just in the eyes of God. But that's mind-blowing. It almost seems impossible with a lot of people. Even us Christians, if we stop and meditate on it a while, we can be like, wow, how in the world is that? Because one reason is because we know us. And if we've been offended, if we've been wronged, it's going to take a lot for us most of the time. Unless we do it because God said so, it's going to take a while before we say innocent and justified. And we may forgive, but I promise you, we won't forget. We won't forget. And so when you stop and think about it, we're asking lost people around us to accept to receive and accept the concept that logically doesn't fit. You know what I mean when they say, your sins can be forgiven. Everything that you've ever did wrong can be made right. And God will not hold it against you anymore. That's mind-blowing. But I want you to look at this passage I just read over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 6. Paul says this. I'm going to read it out of King James first, and then we'll look at it in Christian Standard. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, meaning the Old Testament prophecies. And then he says in verse 4, and that he, Jesus, was buried, and that he, Jesus, rose again on the third day according to Scriptures, Old Testament prophecies. And then Paul goes on to point out how that Jesus was seen alive after the resurrection. He was seen by Simon Peter. He was seen by the apostles. He was seen by 500 people after that. Most of them were still alive at the time that Paul was teaching. And then if you move on down and read down into verse 7, Paul says that he also saw Jesus as one out of season, but that he knows Jesus is alive because he laid his eyes on him. But then if you go over and read behind Dr. Luke in his gospel, chapter 24, verse 10, we're also told that on resurrection morning that Jesus was seen by the two Marys, Joanna, and other women. So we know other women meaning more than one, so there at least had to be five women that day. That morning, that were there that saw Jesus. And then Simon Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. He said this, Acts chapter 2, verse 32. God has raised this Jesus, and we are witnesses of this. The evidence for the resurrection of the Messiah is there. You can read behind Josephus. Josephus was not a believer. He was a historian. But he says that there was much uproar after the Passover time and all that went on there when Christ was crucified because there was the resurrection. You see, it's important, and we sometimes miss this, but you know, in the account of the resurrection, when we look and it says that Peter went in there, what did he find laying? You remember what it was? The grave clothes. And it also says that the head wrap was actually folded up, and there's a tradition that goes along with that. But you say, Brian, what does that mean? Well, see, if he was stolen, if Jesus' body was stolen by the Roman soldiers, or if it was stolen by the disciples just to make this big ruse or anything like that, why would they have taken off the burial wrap? Wouldn't have made any sense to. And you could have still explained it away and said, he's risen, you know, he made it evaporate or whatever. But no, see, all those little clues point to it, and it's by faith that we receive him. But again, as we talk about this, just like the forgiveness of sin and the cleansing and a new life and a mansion in glory, and that you'll have a relationship with your Creator, just as that's mind-blowing and almost impossible, when we talk about the resurrection, a man being dead and rising again, isn't that impossible? So again, we're asking the lost folks around us to accept the concept that doesn't fit in with their way of thinking or their rational thought. But I want you to listen to what Paul says again. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. I want you to look at that phrase. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I received. Let's break that down into two parts. I delivered unto you, and then, first of all, that which I received. Paul says, when you break down those words in the Greek, that I delivered unto you, basically what he's saying is I gave or I passed something along to you. It had been given to me, and now I'm passing it on to you. But look what it is that he passed on. He said, first of all, that which I received. Now, if you take that phrase, first of all, in the Greek, the word is protos, meaning highest rank or most important of what was given. So Paul is saying this in other words, I passed on to you the most important parts of what I had been given. I gave to you the most important. That word protos there means first. And what that means, the highest ranking, the highest in importance. And so in the Christian Standard, this is how it says here. For I passed on to you as most important of what I also received, that Jesus died for our sins according to Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was risen on the third day according to Scriptures. What is Paul saying there? He's saying, I want you to know the most important part, and the most important part is that He rose again. He's alive. He's not in the tomb. And folks, that is the center of the gospel. That is the center of the book. That is the center of the ministry that Jesus is not dead, that Jesus is not in a tomb, but that He is alive. And that's why we sang those songs. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is with me no matter what men may say. He's sitting on the throne, and by His Spirit, He's living within me. You see, and that's what we need to be presenting to people. We need to be letting them know that, yes, what the world says is impossible. What does Christ say? With men, it is impossible, but with God, what? All things are possible. If it's possible for Him to rise up on the third day, then why is it not possible for Him to cleanse you of your sins and to give you a new life? That's why He went around healing people. Was He showing off? No, He was bringing glory to the Father. But you remember what He would say. He said this, hey, which is easier, for me to tell that man to take up your bed, rise up and walk to the house? Or is it easier for me to say, rise, thy sins be forgiven thee? And see, so when he died for our sins, but also he arose as evidence to His Lordship. So if we're interested in serving the Lord properly, then the theme and the cornerstone of our message is going to be that He is risen. But here's the sad thing about it. And as your pastor, I take partial blame in this. Outside of Easter, when do we really talk about the resurrection? When do we really make much that He's not here, He is risen? He's alive, He's moving, He's working, His hand is ever present in my life. Let's consider just the New Testament. Let's go to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is the record of the church, of the first church, how it began, her first actions and works in response to the Lord's command of the Great Commission. Basically, in the book of Acts, what we see are the first 30 years of the bride of Christ. So there's a lot we can learn. Not going by traditions, we want to know how the church began, how it functioned, what it did, so that we can emulate it. Because remember, it went from, let's say, 120 there in the upper room that believed. And then you read over in Acts and it says by chapter 17, 18, 19, it said these men have turned the world upside down. Why? Because they stood on the resurrection. They made much of the resurrection. They talked about the tomb being empty. They talked about Jesus being alive. So if we're interested in serving the Lord properly and fulfilling our command to evangelize the globe, then Acts is a pretty good place to start. So let's look at the book of Acts. I want you to look at some of the situations that happened in the book of Acts. And I want you to see how the men of God and the women of God responded to it. You remember, they had been in the upper room and they were praying. And Jesus had told them to stay up there until the Holy Ghost fell. And the Holy Ghost fell. And that's what we call Pentecost, because it's 50 days after the what? After the Passover, that's with the Penta, the five, that comes there. And so Simon Peter, and remember, the Spirit fell, and it said they had like cloven tongues on their head, and a lot of those that had come into the city to be a part of the festival thought that they were actually drunk. What did Peter say? He said, we're not drunk. He said, we're religious. No, listen what he said in Acts chapter 2, verses 21 and 32. Acts chapter 2, verses 31 and 32. Talking about King David, listen what he said. Seeing what was to come, he spoke concerning the resurrection of the Messiah. He was not abandoned to Hades, and his flesh did not experience decay. That's a quote from Psalms 16:10. God, and then it goes on Peter to say, God has raised this Jesus and we are witnesses of this. What did he do? What was the first thing that the church declared? The empty tomb and the resurrection. That's the first thing they declared. You know what? What better way than to start our day than to remind ourselves the tomb is empty? What better way to go into the job and see somebody and just say, hey, you know what? The tomb's empty. He's alive. Or tell your spouse that. You know, when they're looking grumpy and ain't had their coffee yet, and you look at them, you know what? You being nasty to me, but the tomb is empty. Amen. You know what? You shut them down real quick right then, wouldn't you? Yeah, and they'll look at you and say, you pious holier than thou thing, don't you even? But you'd help them have a better day, wouldn't you? You remember when Peter and John, it was just right after the day of Pentecost, and they were going to the temple. And remember just outside the gate called Beautiful, you remember the lame man? And he was asking for alms. And what did Peter say? Silver and gold have we none, but what we do have we give you. In the name of Jesus, rise. And it says, it says strength came into his ankles and he leaped up. You know what? The Jewish religious leaders got mad and arrested him. But over in Acts chapter 4, in between verses 5 and 22, we see Peter responding to them. Peter, it says, was filled with the Holy Spirit there in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. And what did he say? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and whom God has raised from the dead, by him, this man, the lame man, is standing here before you healthy. You know what he's saying? He says, because the tomb is empty, this man has been healed. This man has been healed. You know what? Praise God. When everything's going wrong in our life, we can still say, to God be the glory. This is the only hell I'll ever have to go to, and my best days are yet to come. Why? Because the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. You go on down and you see how the church and its members are described. Over in Acts chapter 4, between verses 32 and 36, Acts 4, 32 and 33 says this. Now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and one mind. No one claimed that they were that any of their possessions were their own. You know what's important about that? Nobody saw themselves as above the other one. You know what I'm saying? They didn't say, this is mine and you can't use it, because what they're saying is, I'm more privileged than you are when you say that about your things. No, everybody was one of one mind and one accord. Nobody was big. They were no big eyes and little U's. But it goes on to say, but instead they held everything in common. And Acts 4:33 says, and with great power the apostles gave testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was given to them all. You see the common thread here in the church? The young church. And remember, it grew. 3,000 were saved, man. And people, I mean, there was just a great awakening going on. What? The message was consistent. It wasn't be a member of this church. It wasn't do you want to go to heaven. It wasn't do you want your best life now. It was the tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. He was put to death, this innocent man, but he's no longer dead. Then we move on, and we can jump a few chapters up. But when Paul was in Antioch, and he preached at Antioch over in Acts chapter 13, in Acts chapter 13, verses 29 through 30, it says, when they carried out all that was written, speaking about the member of Peter had said, you, and let the Israel people know, you who put Jesus to death. He's talking about the Roman soldiers and all that was went through. He says, and when they carried out all that had been written about Jesus, they took him down from the tree and put him in the tomb. Acts 13:30. But God raised him from the dead. Again, the message, the cornerstone. Again, now, think about this. We're witnessing to people. We're witnessing. We're not pinning them down, and we're not preaching to them or anything like that, but on a regular basis, we just remind them, the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. They either one or two things. They're going to think you crazy flat out, or they're going to begin to think about that. And then one day you're going to say, you know what? If you want to, Jesus will forgive your sins. You've already got it in their head that he's already done the impossible. He's already rose up from the grave. So why wouldn't he do the other impossible? And that is forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness and to give us a relationship with our Creator. Then Paul went into Athens. And he, you know how he was. I mean, he would basically preach at the drop of a hat, and he'd throw the hat, you know. And he was basically talking with some philosophers, Stoic philosophers. Live free, you know. Enjoy. If it feels good, do it. You know, the type of thinking. So they got upset with him. Acts 17:18, it says, utter of pride, these philosophers. He seems to be preaching of some foreign deities because he was telling the good news. King James would say he was preaching the gospel. But the Christian Standard says because he was telling the good news about Jesus and what? Just take a guess. Jesus and what? Starts with a R, end with un. The resurrection. That's right. He's telling of the good news of Jesus and the resurrection. Hey. You may not know how he was going to present it, but when Paul stood up to preach, when Peter stood up to preach, you knew the resurrection was going to be in there, that the tomb is empty. In fact, if you look through the book of Acts, which is a book of 28 chapters, the term resurrection and the phrases raised from the dead along with rose from the dead are specifically used concerning Christ 17 times. 17 times. And you know, a lot of what we see there in the book of Acts is they're going from one city to another city and from this situation to that situation. So the main theme of the church was the resurrection. The impossible being possible. That he died on the cross, this innocent man, and he died for our sins, but he's not dead anymore, and the tomb is empty, and he's alive. Even here, as you look here in the book of, if you look in the book of Romans, you know, in the Romans, we have the Romans Road where we try to lead someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you look in it, the term resurrection, along with the phrases raised from the dead, along with rose from the dead, is used 9 times in the book of Romans. And what we know is Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and where we read from tonight, again, this church had a lot of issues. And Paul spends an entire chapter, 58 verses. When you begin in verse 1 here, and you go all the way over to 58, there's going to be, I mean, look there in verse 53, it says, for the corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. You know what he's talking about there? The resurrection. Not the resurrection of Christ. He's talking about the resurrection of the believers. But he spends all this time focusing on the resurrection. And he uses it, resurrection, raised from the dead or rose from the dead, here in chapter 15, 7 to 8 times directly talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just a little FYI for you. Resurrection, rose from the dead, or raised from the dead, in reference to Jesus Christ, is used in the New Testament 64 to 65 times. You think it's important that the tomb is empty? Matter of fact, it's the cornerstone of the gospel. It's the cornerstone of this message. In fact, the resurrection is the means by which the groom will be reunited with most of his bride for an eternity. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive will rise and meet them with the air to evermore be with him. So wrapping up, the point is this. People need to know that Jesus wants to forgive and cleanse them of their sins. But this idea is many times against our understanding and seemingly impossible. But it's no more impossible than someone that loved you and I enough to die and to take our punishment. A punishment that was death. And then he had the power to rise up on the third day. Because what is impossible with man, you remember last week we discussed the camel through the eye of a needle. And remember the apostles was like, well, if the rich can't be saved, then who can? And Jesus says, well, what's impossible with man? But nothing is impossible with God. In fact, Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is the theme of Christianity. It is the foundation of all of eternity. And it should get us excited. And we should enjoy talking about the resurrection. You know what? The resurrection and the fact that the tomb is empty should maybe not talk about it every day, but we ought to just tell Jesus, I'm thankful that the tomb is empty at least one time a week. Maybe we need to write ourselves and put us a sticky note on the mirror in the bathroom or in the car and just say, the tomb is empty. The tomb is empty. And you know what? Instead of telling people, I tell them Jesus loves them at like the grocery stores and like the quickie stop. You reckon how they'd look at me if I said, tomb's empty. God bless you, tomb's empty. They'd think about it, wouldn't they? They'd think about it. But you know what? Because the tomb is empty, I know that nobody loves you like Jesus. Because the tomb is empty, I know that nobody's done as much for you as Jesus has done for you. And because the tomb is empty, I know, and I know, that if you and I will be willing, he'll do even greater things than we can ever imagine. God bless you. Share this with somebody. Tell somebody that Jesus loves them and the tomb is empty. And God willing, tomorrow night, Brother K. Jesse's going to be doing our devotion. So 6 o'clock there. I love you. God bless you. We'll see you later.